Well, why don't we just let down our nets tonight? You know, this is a different service, I feel, tonight than any we have had in the revival. We've had some good services, but seems like tonight, with everybody tired, and my, what an emotional drain that this church has had, and one of its largest funerals, I guess, that you will ever have. But tonight there is such a terrific spirit.
You're right.
A terrific spirit. Now, I should not be too tired, but I sat down over there a while ago, and I just thought it seemed so good to sit down and relax a little bit in the presence of the Lord. And waves of glory just started moving in. And I mean the tiredness left.
Good.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I just feel tremendous tonight.
Hallelujah.
This has been like a general conference tonight. In fact, maybe not a general conference. Sometimes a general conference, we don't get to have everything we'd like to have. But tonight, all this singing, this has been like a singing convention.
Right.
And we have so enjoyed this. What a church that's blessed with great talent. And I kind of feel like Brother Bernard tonight. He's a preacher sitting up here on loan from this church. This is tremendous. You know, this church has been such a great blessing in this community, in this area, and even in this state over the years, until if we could see, I'm sure, everybody that's ever been here, we would probably have to get the convention center.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I so appreciate the fine leadership of your pastor, Brother Rutledge, who has been the key figure in all of this. Brother and Sister Rutledge, their family, and Maya, as we said the other night, all of you working together, what a tremendous church,
right,
and what a great opportunity. But folks, did you know you have not reached your full potential? You can in no wise say we have arrived. We've built a lovely church. We're recognized in our city. We have enough to have a good service and plenty of Sunday school teachers and staff and a lot of talent. And so now we can just enjoy life from here on out until the end. Did you know there are many more folks out there in our city, your city tonight, who are hungry just like you once were, who need God so desperately tonight? They are waiting for somebody to knock their door. They're waiting for somebody to invite them to this church. They're waiting for somebody to witness to them. Do you believe that? You know, God counts those things that be not as though they were. And long before this church was built, long before this church was here in Pine Bluff, and I can remember this church for a long time, but long before that, God saw every one of us here in our particular places tonight in this service. Now, if he can see like that, how many families is he seeing right now?
All right. Good.
How many? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Right here on this front seat, who does God see there? That second seat. You know, I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. We got about 25, 26 pews. In front of Brother Charles, there's another one there. We got about 26, 27 pews tonight with not anybody on. But you know what? God sees families.
Yeah.
He sees individuals. He sees, because this year several families are going to come in. Next year, if he tarries, next year.
All
and
right.
He can see all of those families, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I tell you what, let's do. We need to hurry to make it so.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Aren't you anxious to hurry and meet?
Hallelujah.
Who's going to fill those seats? Probably on that second seat, the Ferguson family with their five kids. erected. That's right. Who are they? I don't know. Y'all don't know them either. Maybe you know them. Maybe there's somebody you work with. But hallelujah.
Okay.
All right, let's try the Sawyers. The Sawyers right back there on that seat. The Kirkendalls right back there. The Randolphs right back there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Future Sunday school teachers, singers, musicians. God's got a lot of folks. He's got a lot of folks. Let's stand right now and thank Him for what He has done for us. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we thank you for everything. You folks have been so very, very nice and hospitable. As we have said several times since being with you, we have so enjoyed being here. And it's always a pleasure to be at the Apostolic Church of Pine Bluff. Let's turn to the Word of the Lord and read from Ezekiel, the 47th chapter. We're going to read about five familiar verses to you from Ezekiel 47. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Now, you don't have to try to remember all of that. Just remember the waters issued out. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. Everybody say, he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Brother Gary Castillo, would you pray?
Lord, I pray that you will touch the remainder of this service tonight, dear God, and bless this man, and let him break the bread of life to us once again, Father. We ask in your name. Amen.
Praise God. You may be seated.
Praise God.
I want to talk to you for a little while tonight. And I want to try to help some folks. In fact, I want to try to help Stan tonight. I want to try to help this other brother that was praying last night at the altar. And I want to help everybody that wants the Holy Ghost tonight. And I want to help everybody that's got the Holy Ghost tonight, because I feel like that if you will respond to the Spirit and the Word of the Lord. There is something here that will help all of us to reach something that we are hungry for tonight. I'd like to entitle this message, Ezekiel's Swimming Lesson. Ezekiel's Swimming Lesson. Ezekiel was taken on a guided tour of the temple of the millennium, the future temple. Now, there are some difficult things in Ezekiel that I don't even try to understand. And I'm not sure that I really understand what's going on right here, except whether in a vision or whether God actually took Ezekiel to the future temple and showed it to him and then took him back to the earth, because when you read some things in Ezekiel, it sounds just about like that. But that really is beside the point. What we find tonight is that Ezekiel was taken to the temple and he noticed that there was some water running out of the house. Now, to most of us, that would represent a leak. But this was an intentional flow. Nothing was running over. It was intended to be.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Nobody ran for the plungers.
Amen.
This was all in God's will. Now, you see, the reason why I have to say that, some folks feel that when the Spirit of the Lord, and water in the Bible is often likened unto the Spirit of the Lord, they feel like that if they can't keep the Spirit of the Lord in some little reservoir somewhere in their church, that things are getting a little out of control.
Yeah.
There's a leak somewhere.
All right.
They run for the plungers. Something stopped up. But you see, God wants this Spirit to flow out into our world.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When this water began to flow, Ezekiel's guide said, come on, you've got some things to see and learn today. So he took Ezekiel, the Bible says, 1,000 cubits. That would be, if a cubit's 18 inches, about 1,500 feet. He took him 1,000 cubits. And the Bible says, the water was to the ankles. What a lot of us seem to forget about the flow of God's Spirit. And remember, ultimately, we're going to get Ezekiel swimming. I mean, he's going to learn how to swim. If he knew how to swim, he is going to get some lessons in what it's all about. Because eventually, Ezekiel is going to be out there in water over his head. But before Ezekiel could arrive at that place, Ezekiel had to leave the land. He had to leave the dry land. He had to get away from the dust and the dirt. And he had to get into the water.
Yeah, that's right. All right.
In the 5th chapter of Luke, and we'll not turn there right now. We had thought about turning and spending a little time there, but why don't we just kind of hurry, because Ezekiel is anxious to swim.
Yeah.
We find there in Luke, the 5th chapter, that Jesus wanted to teach the multitude, and he saw a couple of ships, and he entered into one, and he said to the owner, he said, Simon, why don't you cast out a little from the land? Now, let's jump ahead just a little bit. The Lord, after having him to go a little from the land, is going to tell him, launch out into the deep.
Right.
We're going to get Ezekiel out into the deep a little bit. Before he got out there, he had to get in water that was only ankle deep.
Right.
And before Simon, with his boat, could get out into the deep water where they were able to catch enough fish, so much so that they couldn't pull them all in, and the boat began to sink, and they had to get help from the neighboring church.
All right.
the revival was so great. That'd be a big revival, wouldn't it? To say, we've got a revival so big, we want you to come and share our prospects. We've caught so many, we can't take care of them all. Can you take about half of them? Most of us would rather sink than to share them with the neighbors. Bless God.
I didn't tell you.
And so they said, let's go. But see, before they launched out there, they had to get a little ways out from the land. Get away from the land a little bit, he said. Let's get a little ways out. They didn't get a long ways out. A lot of folks feel like that Pentecost is something that just, if you ever bite, that it'll pull you up through the water so fast it'll give you the bends. And you know what? I never did know that till a few years ago, that you could kill a fish.
Yeah.
Deep sea fishing, if you catch it too deep and pull it up too quickly. And I'm afraid sometimes we try to do that. We get a hook in somebody's jaw. We want to give them everything. We want to take them right now. And we pull them up so far and so fast that when we finally get them up there, they just, they're gone.
Amen.
They've got the bends.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? All right. But you see, before you can get into all of that, you got to start. The deepest ocean, the ocean that's 7 miles deep. You know how deep it is at the surf? Do you know how deep it is on the coast of California before it gets way out there in those islands? Do you know how deep it is? It is so shallow that a small child can play in it. The Spirit of God is so beautiful that the smallest babe in Christ can enjoy the beauty and the wonder. In fact, someone just coming to God can enjoy the Spirit of the Lord without getting hurt. But on the other hand, God does not leave us in the surf. You see, in modern Christendom, we've got a lot of beach boys. We've got a lot of surfers. We've got a lot of folks that... Let's come on up a little. Is this one on?
Yeah.
All right, let's come on up a little. Come on up a little. Come on up a little, and I'll give you some spiritual biffles. Come on up a little. Jack, are you asleep? All right, come on up.
Amen. Thank you, all.
Praise God.
No, we're not on. Let me operate.
Hallelujah. What are you going to do?
Amen.
It's stopped up now. We got to get it flowing now.
There's something wrong somewhere else.
All right. I'll just preach with this.
Praise God.
I got to get loose here, though, in a little bit.
Amen.
Praise God. All right. We've got a lot of folks that... all right.
I'll tell you, if he can't get started, I'll preach.
While you're getting that battery, I'm going to go pray a while. See, we got a lot of folks that they will stand on the land and they'll just get a toe in the water. They'll just reach out there and they'll say, ooh, isn't this good? I love Jesus. And they really do. I'm not making fun of that. They really love the Lord.
Amen.
They have an experience with God. Amen? It may be just the main toe or toe main experience or something. But it's just a little bit. It's not very much. But they enjoy it. They feel good. But let me show you about the water. The water was flowing. The water was running. If the water runs, we have to run. When the water stops, we stop. When the cloud stops, we stop. When the fire stops, we stop. When the cloud goes, we go. When the fire goes, we go. When the water runs, we run. In Ezekiel, the first chapter, it said, when these went, those went. When those went, these went. I don't know what those and these are, but whenever they go, we got to go. Hallelujah. It's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. When one thing goes, the other thing goes. When the Spirit moves, we have to go. We're having a time tonight, folks. I'm going to get that black marker in a minute. All right. Now let's pray, because I need to get out here in a little bit, because I can't give swimming lessons standing up here. All right. Now, when you get that little toe in there, the water is flowing. It says, come on in. The water is fine. God's Spirit, I really believe this with all of my heart. Brother Jackson fainted, I think. I believe when the Spirit... Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was afraid of talking. All right, let's go. Now, when you get just a little bit in the water says, come on. It invites. God's Spirit never is happy with us enjoying it just a little bit. In fact, God's Spirit is never happy with us even when we come on in a little bit more, because it still says, come on. Come on, come on. I don't believe when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost that we should stop there. I'm not talking about heresy. I'm not talking about something wild. I mean, we shall know Him if we follow on to know Him. We've got to walk in the light as He is in the light. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have to keep going because the water is running. All right. The water was, the Bible says, to the ankles. But Ezekiel, you can't stop here. You've got to keep going. He measured another 1,000 cubits and led him through the water. And the Bible says the water was to the knees. And some folks get knee deep in this and they feel like it's enough. Yeah. They feel like that's all I want. I can still see my friends. You see, the majority of folks are still up on the bank. They're still on the land. If you go anywhere, you will notice where there is a lot of water, more people live on the land than live on the water. That's where the majority is. The majority will not be out in the water, especially in the deep. Oh, you'll find a lot of people if you go to the beach right around the edges. But you get several miles out there and it's lonely. You don't see many boats. You don't see many people, because not a lot of folks finally wind up in the deep. There are a lot of folks in ankle-deep water. There are a lot of folks in knee-deep water. But the Spirit is saying, come on. Come on. Let's go a little farther. Now let's go back and try to tie these two together. You see, when Simon was invited to take his little ship a little ways out from the land, let's remember that that ship was designed for the sea. A boat is designed for the water.
All right. Amen.
To be against tongues is to have a boat, but have it in dry dock. Uh-huh. I want to live for God. I want the Spirit of the Lord. But I don't want to have anything to do with tongues. That goes with it. That goes with it. I read a book one time about a man who had a boat. He loved boats. He spent all of his time around a boat. But he hated the water. He kept his boat on a hill overlooking the bay. He kept it on a scaffold. He would hang around that boat, spend all of his day. He loved boats. But he hated the water. He was afraid of the water. Does that remind you of a lot of folks that say, I love Jesus, but I don't want to have anything to do with the Holy Ghost?
All right.
I love church, but I don't want all of that stuff. I don't want all of that demonstration. Folks, if you got a boat, it's designed for the water. If you got a ship, it's built to sail. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. And so, hallelujah. Ezekiel was invited to keep going. Ankle deep, knee deep, 1,000 cubits, and he was, the Bible says, loin deep. Now, I didn't want to scare y'all, so I looked in the dictionary, and we can say the loins are kind of the middle part, and it's close enough to the waist to say waist deep. Is that all right?
That's all right.
Okay. And so when you get waist deep, it's about halfway. And how many people get about halfway? I'm just, you know, I'm half in and I'm half out. I mean, I'm half in the church and I'm half in the world. I want the world and I want the church. Now, let me stop right here and tell you. Brother Jackson, let's come back on up a little bit stronger because I'm going to talk just a little while. I remember when, many years ago, the camp meeting was on Mount Crest. I was just a small, small child, and Daddy would take me down to White River behind Combs there. And I wanted to learn how to swim so badly. But what I would do, I would wade out in that water. And I'd get out there just a little ways and a little deeper and a little deeper. And I noticed that the deeper that I got, the more buoyant my body was. Now, I wasn't familiar with the word buoyant when I was a little boy. And that has nothing to do with boys. If you're buoyant, you have an ability to float. And this is one reason why the Spirit is likened unto water. This is one reason why that Simon was invited out in the deep. This is one reason why Ezekiel was told, come on, you've got to keep going. You can't stop here. Because in waist deep water, you can start to feel a little bit of buoyancy. But you're not out there far enough. You've got to go a little farther.
All right.
Now, he invited him to go farther, 1,000 more cubits. Now, before we get him out there swimming, I want you to notice something, because a lot of things start changing.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you right quickly. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight, you may be a fine person. You may be a good person in many ways. You may love the Lord and many, many things. But you're in this world, but there is another world, just like there is a world of the land, and you find certain species of animals there, a particular atmosphere. But you get out in the water, you find an altogether different world. It's the marine world. It's a world of different animals. It's a world of a different atmosphere. In fact, gravity is still in existence, but the laws, the natural laws, are different in the water.
You're right.
And the deeper you get, the more buoyant your body is. The more it wants to float. So I noticed as I would get deeper and deeper and deeper, I noticed that all of a sudden I'd start to lose control of my body. I mean, it would start to go. And I'd just kind of tiptoe and kind of get around like that and kind of dog paddle and get back up here where I could get on what? You see, you don't learn how to swim as long as you stay in contact with the land. That's why a lot of folks don't ever learn how to swim, and that's why a lot of folks don't ever get the Holy Ghost. It's because they want to stay with at least one foot hanging on to what they're familiar with. They want to hang on to the other world. But to a person that swims, it doesn't matter how deep it is.
Yes, praise.
It doesn't matter. I wanted Aunt Ruth to be here tonight because I remember many years ago, we all went fishing with Uncle Coy. And my mama was sitting there in that boat, and she said, Coy, how deep is it right here? And mama couldn't swim. Now, with her bill, she ought to have been mighty buoyant, but she couldn't swim. And she said, Coy, how deep is it? Coy just kept fishing, kind of nonchalantly said, oh, about 80 feet deep. She said, oh, my God, Coy. She got more scared. But you know what? It wouldn't have made a difference with Mama if it had been 6 feet deep. 80 and 6, what's the difference? Because she would have drowned anyway. When you learn how to swim, it doesn't mean, in fact, you want to get in deep water because you don't want your... Did you know if we could only learn this? That water will help you. That spirit will buoy you. It tries to hold you up. We don't have to do everything. In fact, you can actually relax and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Before I learned how to swim, I had to learn how to relax. Especially to float. Daddy used to tell me, Bob, it's easy to float. All you have to do is flip over on your back and stretch out. You don't even have, he said, hold your hands like this. Kick your feet a little, but he said, you don't even have to kick your feet. If you would just flip over on your back, but he said, the key, Bobby, is get that head back. Don't try to hold your head up like this. See, I was trying to float like this. Why? Because you see, God made me in a vertical position. Fish are in a horizontal position. Am I telling you the truth? A fish is in, and that's one reason why that it's hard to learn how to swim. If we could swim standing up, it'd be easy to swim. But you see, you gotta get down here. So we want to get that head up. You don't see a fish swimming along that way. You got to get that head down when you're swimming. In fact, some swimmers get that head down and even swim underwater. They turn around and get a little breath of air right there. Am I telling you the truth? And when you're trying to learn how to swim, if you get that head way up, your feet will go down. And that's what happens on your back. You get your head up like that, your feet will just go like that and you'll start sinking. But get that head back. Daddy said, get it on back. But Daddy, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Just keep your nose out, if nothing else. And I will guarantee you can float. I did that, and I started floating. I got excited. I wanted to raise up and tell everybody. Then I start sinking. You got to relax. Too many folks come down to get the Holy Ghost, and they try too hard. They try too hard. It's getting off into another world. It's pushing off. When you start to feel that buoyancy, you see when Ezekiel got out there waist deep and he started going that last 1,000 cubit distance, when he started getting out there where it says waters to swim in, notice that it didn't say the depth. Notice also the waters were not called anything but waters until they got deep enough to swim in, and then it's called a river. A river. The river of God is not a little toe, ankle, waist deep little stream. But it is a body that is so deep you can't even measure its depth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And when you get out there and you start feeling the buoyancy, you start losing a little control. That's right. But that's when you need just to go ahead. In fact, one of the things that I learned that was so astounding in learning how to swim is I was trying so hard and working at it, and swimming is so natural. It is so easy. Your body will almost float anyway. All you have to do, you don't have to look graceful. How many can swim? How many cannot swim? Now, how many were ashamed to raise your hands? That's what I thought. Well, Ezekiel had to learn how to swim too. And so so he began to get out there. And he probably said, oh, look what's happening. That's all right. Come on. Waters to swim in. But I can't touch the bottom anymore. But I'm starting to lose control of my words. That's all right. That's all right. You don't have to keep holding on. You don't have to keep control of everything.
Hallelujah.
Let go. Let go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you say, how are you going to help me and I've got the Holy Ghost? I'm going to teach you how to shout.
Go ahead.
We're going to leap for joy. I told him one day, I said, I'm going to preach on leaping for joy. He said, I said, I'm going to get them to leap. And he said, I guarantee you they won't leap. Oh, that's good. Glory. So, but let me help you to learn how, in all seriousness, there are a lot of folks that say, I want to shout. I want to yield to the Spirit of the Lord, but I just don't seem to know how. One of the first things you've got to do is relax. Relax. You know what I try to do in every service? I try to get in the flow. Get loose. I'll stand. If we're standing up, I'll kind of do like this. Hallelujah. If we're worshiping the Lord or if we're not, I'll just try to thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Movement. What is it? You're getting everything kind of loose. Hallelujah. You see, it's hard to shout just like an airplane. It's hard unless you're a helicopter to take off from a still position. And God doesn't believe in helicopters. Not too many. He has a few. But he likes for us to kind of get in a running position. You say, what does that mean? Do we have to help it? You have to yield to it. Did you know every time I feel like talking in tongues, if I wanted to, I could do like this and enunciate every syllable so rigidly that God wouldn't have a chance to take hold. I am holding on to every syllable just with an iron hand. You got to kind of get loose. Kind of like the way y'all talk down here in Arkansas. Just kind of get loose. Kind of like, you know what I'm talking about? Hey, I like that Southern talk. I love it. I'm a Southerner myself from Oklahoma. All right. But you got to get loose. When you start praising the Lord, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You feel your tongue get thick. You feel something start to happen. You feel a tingling. Sometimes you will feel like your legs are starting to draw a little bit. What is it? Actually, the Holy Ghost is trying to take control of you. You're feeling that buoyancy. You're feeling that lightness. You're getting out here in another world. Don't try to run back and get a hold of everything. You say, what if I make a fool of myself? What are your intentions? What's your motivation? If you're hungry for God, if you want Jesus more than you want anything else in all the world, don't worry about it. And when you're wanting to yield to shouting or worship or whatever it is, forget about everybody around you. Get loose. You know what? We don't have any of the brothers here tonight, so I can talk kind of freely. But you know what? You ever watch those folks play basketball? I mean, they're so loose. I mean, just everything. They walk down the street. Man. I mean, they're loose, man. Let's stand around and talk. Hey, man, what you say? We try that and we say, what'd you say? They say, what'd you say, man? You know what I mean? I mean, one leg's going this way. The other's going this way. One arm's going this way. Hell, man, what you say, man? Hey, man. Hey, am I telling you the truth, man? Now, you know what? Do you know why they get the Holy Ghost easy? I have pastored several black folks. We have prayed for a lot of black folks in the altar. You know why a lot of times they get the Holy Ghost so quick? I've seen them get the Holy Ghost just like that. I've seen them yield to God like that. You can go to their service. You can go to some churches, not even Pentecostal, and they shout more than we do. Why? They're just loose. They were born loose. I'm serious. I'm not making fun. They were born loose. And when we learn to relax in the Spirit, hallelujah, hallelujah, we've got to get free. We've got to turn loose. You can stand there rigidly, and you won't do anything. You say, well, God will just get a hold of me and shake me. There have been a few times in my brief experience living for God of several years that I have had God, when I had my mind almost on something else, just to grab me like that. But I would say 9/10 of the time, I have to flow into it. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, something takes over. Hallelujah. Something gets to going.
Glory, 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 glory. And you that are wanting the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when you feel that Spirit, just let go. And don't get in a rut. Don't get in a rut. Is this all right to say, Brother Pastor?
I'm sure
it is. I stopped folks in the altar when they, in my church, when I had a church. Through stopping folks for a while, it looks like. I stopped too many is what it was. But some folks get to saying, chee, 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 chee. 30 minutes they say, chee, 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 chee. I say, sus. Sus, do the sus for a while. What happened to sus? Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then some will, Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's not tongues. That's not saying it so many times you get mixed up. In fact, you can get in such a rut until that becomes something rigid. You will be locked into that you, the Holy Ghost, can't get in. When you get to saying something too long, switch a little bit. I stop them and say, look, let's say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, God. You don't have to try to prime the Holy Ghost. Tongues is not something that has to be conjured up and helped along. It has to be yielded to. You don't have to say a few words to get it started. You don't have to do any strange things. Not at all. I don't believe in that. I believe that when the Holy Ghost comes, as the Scripture says, they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Now the Spirit will utter through us, but it has to use our vocal cords. It has to use our lungs and larynx. It has to use our body, our mouth. In other words, the Spirit speaks, but it must speak through us. There's where the yielding is. When we yield to that, the Spirit will take over.
Hallelujah.
If you're teaching somebody how to drive, and when I was a little kid, Daddy would let me guide a little bit. And all parents do that, I guess. You know, get over here, set my lap and guide just a little bit. You see, if you're letting somebody guide, but then you just hold on the wheel real tightly while they're trying to guide a little bit, it's not. You've got to sit there and kind of give the wheel to them. That's what yielding is. It's giving the wheel. It's giving the controls to Jesus. It's saying, look, I'm still in my right mind, but I'm giving the controls of my speech, my mind, my body. I'm handing my life. I'm giving everything over to you, God. You take it right now. And then say, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that you're going to give me. Thank you, Lord. It's a gift. I love you. Thank you, Lord, that you want me to yield to your Spirit. Thank you, God, that you want me to enjoy blessings.
Right.
And if you've never shouted, you can shout tonight. If you've never spoken in tongues, if you've never received the Holy Ghost, whatever, you can do that tonight. You say, it's been years since I spoke in tongues, since I got the Holy Ghost. You can speak in tongues again tonight. Just turn loose. Get out there. Don't be afraid. Don't try to keep your feet on the land. Get on out there in that deep water to where you can start feeling that buoyancy of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Waters to swim in. Waters to swim in. And a lot of folks are still paddling around up there somewhere because they're afraid to get out. Now, you know what? I don't think we need to go any farther right now. I believe we've got some folks that are anxious to swim right now. I believe some folks here tonight are wanting to enjoy yielding to the Spirit of the Lord. Stan, you can break through tonight. This is your night to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And after you receive it, you'll say, I just didn't know it was that easy. Just like swimming. But don't try to stay in that vertical. Don't try to stay in that rigid. Don't try to stay in that one hard line place to where I'm going to do it just a certain way. I like to tell people, try different things in getting loose. Clap your hands for a while. Hallelujah. Walk around, maybe up and down the altar. If you want to, run around the building one time. If you're praying for a while, just get up and just take off and run one time. What does it do? It loosens our emotions. It loosens us. It frees us. So clap your hands. Raise your hands. Say some different words of praise to Jesus. I love you, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Quote the word to him. Tell the devil he is a liar. Start thinking about who you're going to call, the first one. Who am I going to call after church to tell them that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. If you want the Holy Ghost to knock you over, if you want to, I think it'd be all right. Look around and see if you got a good place to fall. I mean, get ready. Expect it. I mean, I'm gonna receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. And don't say, and if I don't get it tonight, I'll be seeking it tomorrow night. Say, look, there's no reason why I shouldn't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. It's for me. It's for you, for your children, and their children too. G for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. You know what? I feel a looseness, Brother Rutledge. I feel a flow of the Spirit. And the Spirit is water. It flows. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Don't ever think that you can stop at a certain experience. It's saying, come on. There are things to explore. There are waters to swim in. Let's stand and thank Him. Let's love Him. Let's praise Him. Let's yield to Him. I love you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. It's for me.
For me.
It's for you.
It's for you.
For your children.
For your children.
And their children, too.
It does something. Oh, and nothing else can do.
The second chapter, you can read it for yourself.
You don't have to ask
anybody else about the Holy Ghost. That Jesus is giving away.
Oh, it's for me.
It's for me.
It's for you.
For you.
For your children.
And their children too. It is something that
nothing else can do.
In Acts, the second chapter, you can read yourself.
You don't have to ask anybody else about the Holy Ghost. That Jesus, He's giving it away. He's giving it away tonight. Oh, it's for me.
It's for you.
It's for you.
It's for your children.
And their children too. It does something.
Oh,
that nothing else can do. Oh, in Acts,
the second chapter, you can read it for yourself.
You don't have to ask anybody else about the Holy Ghost.
Jesus.